Hello, listeners. This is Eating Mosquitoes. I'm Sammy Delali. So, in our last episode, we discussed prostitution. Our discussions bordered on a number of ideas. First of all, we talked about the origins of prostitution. And we talked about the feminist view of prostitution. And then we delved into the socioeconomic value of prostitution, which seems to be one of the main factors that fuels prostitution. Today, what we are going to do is delve deeper into the subject, as we mentioned in our last episode. There are aspects of the subject that we never touched on during our discussion. This is a very vast topic, and we know we would not be able to explore it as expansively as we would want to, but then we will try to touch on various aspects of it that will still make the conversation interesting enough and educative enough for all of us. So today I'm still going to have Jude doing the discussions with me, and we're still going to continue, as you already know, with the subject on prostitution. So I have Jude here. He did introduce himself the first time, but I think it's worthwhile he introduces himself again, especially for the first timers. Okay.
Okay, hello. Yes.
Welcome once again.
Thank you.
For the sake of our new listeners, would you please introduce yourself once more?
Jude Edge, rehabilitation specialist.
Okay, great. So, I mean, for our listeners who are listening to this podcast for the first time, Jude had, as I've already mentioned in the introduction, a very interesting conversation with us in the last episode, and we are still continuing with the subject of prostitution. So in the last episode, we delved into a number of ideas. We tried to talk about the origins of prostitution, and then we also delved a bit into the socioeconomic value of sex itself, which sort of fuels prostitution.
Prostitution, yes.
So today we would like to get into what we think is really wrong with prostitution. You know, when we think about prostitution, what is wrong about it? There seems to be some social connotations with even the word prostitution. I don't know if you could talk a bit about that.
Yeah, that is the major problem about prostitution, the conversation about prostitution. Everybody thinks that they know what prostitution is and what is wrong about it. But you inquire further, and a lot of them in the conversation realize it's just because that's what they have been taught since they were young. You should not prostitute, or a woman should not prostitute herself for money. That is the first thing that you notice for a lot of people. But then the question about prostitution, there are some people, you speak to them and then you get the impression that the fact that the woman is having sex with multiple partners is what disgusts them. Multiple partners, they just don't like the idea of having multiple partners. It should be a single partner. It should be monogamy or monoamory. Then you have the others who are disgusted by the fact that several or many different men will insert their genitals into the woman's genitals, and they find that very irksome. They find that very distasteful. I've met a number of women, I've talked to a number of women who find that very distasteful. And then he also asked the question that how can a man know that a lot of other men dip their penises into this woman's vagina, and they also went dip their own into the woman's vagina? You get the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just
so really what we are talking about right now is the perception that generally people have.
Oh, yes, what is wrong with prostitution?
Yeah.
Yes, what is wrong with prostitution? Yes. Then you can also object to what the women are saying, that a lot of men dip their vaginas into the woman's, dip their penises into their woman's vagina.
Yeah.
You, on the contrary, you can also ask the question that if you had a woman who purported or who pretended to love you when you were alone, and she had others on the side, how would you know? You get the question. You would never know. So you would also still be sharing a woman with others. Is that really why men would want women who have only one partner? Hello.
Yeah, Jude, so when you think about some of the things you've just said, in terms of generally the people you've spoken to, the men and then the women, and then the whole idea has been their whole dislike, has been the idea of a woman or a man having multiple partners.
Typically, you must realize that in our particular setting, even around the world, it's only about the women. Prostitution still remains something that is mostly a woman's job. So I wouldn't say a man or a woman having sex, because they've not really said anything about male. It's mostly been about female prostitution. Perhaps the tables will turn for male prostitution. Who knows? You can never tell.
Well,
you get my point.
There are parts of that happening currently, you know, with gays and all. But let's limit the conversation to the women's for now.
Women's, like, yes.
You mentioned. So when people are thinking about, different people inserting their genitals into a woman's genital, there's also the question of this woman being liable to sexual diseases because they have multiple partners, and perhaps that is why people also dislike
that is also part of it. That, I guess, is part of it.
But then,
yeah,
when we move on from that, one being one, you know, having multiple genitals inserted into the woman's genital, you want to those people dislike it. Is there also like a stigma around prostitution, as these people lacking some sort of morals, or there's no sense of morality when it comes to people who practice prostitution? What are your views on that? You know, morality associated with prostitution.
Yes. You, most of the time, for a normal human being, in a psychological sense, when you talk about right and wrong, it goes with certain feelings of disgust. Disgust. So that stigma that you're talking about, on an individual level, you would register it as disgust. When they find people who are bad or people who are errant in the ways of society, they are outside of the norm. They consider them repulsive.
Yeah.
Repulsive, as if they are some kind of vomit or feces along the road. You get the point. Yes. Yes. This is. Yeah. So as I was saying, those are the feelings associated with the judgments of right and wrong. Yeah, so that would stigma. But also, you should remember I talked about some just following the crowd just because prostitution is wrong. Little they say it's wrong. You understand? But those types of people that I talked about, those people that I've had conversations with, they don't take it on a personal level so much. You don't really sense that stigma there. They just say it's wrong and it's wrong. Probably, I don't think they would avoid a prostitute if they knew somebody was a prostitute. I don't believe so. A lot of people, I don't believe they would, but there are a lot of people to have the stigma.
Yeah, like
Like,
these
yes,
are
they
less of the people
stigma.
because they practice prostitution.
These are lesser people, yes, they practice prostitution.
But let's talk about some of the positive aspects of prostitution. Just so we can sort of try to build that.
Sorry to cut you, but we didn't talk about transactional sex. The fact that prostitution is wrong simply because it's transactional sex. Yes. That is also a very big part of what makes prostitution wrong in certain people's eyes. Just the fact that you are exchanging sex for money, they believe that it's wrong. It's sex is too sacred to be exchanged for money, or a woman's body in general is too sacred to be exchanged for money. You shouldn't sell your body off. This is the problem that they have with it. This is their qualm about the whole prostitution business or transactional sex business.
I think what would be interesting for us to do as we bring up this, as we bring up these negative perceptions about prostitution, is to try to dig a little bit deeper into it and try to see what people really find wrong with it. So what people think of, when people think about sex as being transactional, marriage is also transactional. And mostly people get into marriage just so they can have, one of the reasons people get into marriage is for sex, that no one can deny, is to have a sex,
So you're saying the marriage is the transaction.
So marriage could also be a transaction, because you go to the girl's parents, you give them a dowry, you pay.
On marriage being another kind of transactional sex. On marriage being another kind of transactional sex, that's something that I've heard whites say about our marriages and our relationships in general in Africa. I've heard an American or a number of Americans say that. I've heard Dutch say that. I've heard Germans say that. I'm not going to generalize all white people, but so far these are the nationalities that I've heard say that. And I've also read a book by a German, an ethnography of the Ewe people, where he said that with the Ewe people, the dowry is not so much as a purchase of the wife or of the woman, but rather as a point of gratitude. You are thanking the parents for bringing up the woman to be as beautiful as she is now for you to have her. So that is the difference between what they think about a dowry and what the Ewe people practice. But he's not saying that all Africans practice that, because they typically think that Africans in general do that. But this is what I've seen so far, and it was only an ethnography of one tribe, which was the Ewe people. You get.
Yeah, so in there, the white persons are these white persons that you've had a chance to speak with and read from are saying that, are agreeing with the idea of sex being transactional, and that marriages in Africa is sort of transactional.
Yes, the all of the others, that's what they say. But just this one guy that I read saw it differently. I
Yeah, so
guess he perhaps he inquired further and he realized that the motive was different. But the others mostly is because of what they see. They see that mostly men use sex as a way to, if you not give me money, I'm not going to kiss you, or I'm not going to give you this the way you like it. You get, yeah. So, and then also there was one of them who told me that he was standing with a group of boys, and then one lady was approaching. He said, "Oh, this girl likes me so much. She's in love with me." Then when she came over, he handed her a few CD notes, and he said, "Ah, but if this person loves you, why are you giving her money for her love?" You get it. After he gave her the money, she started smiling all over and touching him in various interesting ways. That was the impression he got from the entire scenario. So you can get where they are coming from. So some people, they've only observed, some people have also inquired further. Yeah, so I guess with that particular scenario that I just painted, the person has a point, because there's not really any gratitude behind that one. You have not gone to the parents to thank them for the beauty of the woman or anything, and it's looking like she is doing it because she's being paid for it. You get it? Yes, and even when you move around town, you there's a saying among the ladies, or odoka kra sika kakra. Yes, a little bit of love and a little bit of money, that's what makes the relationship. You get it? When they are saying a little bit of money, they are not talking about money coming from them to you, the man, but money coming from you, the man, to them. Yes, so this is the funny thing. So the white people, yeah, well, who knows? But that is what their impression, that's what they say. Yeah, so they see the large chunk of relationship across Africa transactionally. It's all just a transaction. Whether that too is prostitution,
I
who knows?
remember when a friend listened to the first episode we made and talked about prostitution in schools, and that when he was in school in the university, a lot of girls would have men who would bring them gifts, come pay for their hostel rents, and give them monies for school, so that these girls could go with them for a night or two, and then they would
Yeah.
come back. And then
Yeah.
these girls were really doing it just because of the money. So in that sense,
Yeah.
it's they are not standing on the streets, dressed up waiting for men. But if prostitution is reduced to the definition of transactional sex, then that is also
Transactional nature.
prostitution.
Yeah, that's why also there's another white guy who was also saying that you meet a girl at the club, you take her home after every. Yeah. Sammy?
Yeah, so I'm back here.
Yeah. So you meet a girl at the club. That's what the white man was saying. You meet a girl at the club and you take her home after everything, after a night of fun. She tells you, "Did you think it was free?" Or she asks you, "Did you think it was?" Yeah, this is the rhetorical question she asks you, and she's expecting her money. You get it? Yeah, so what he's saying is that the large chunk of women that you meet at clubs in the night are either professional or semi-pro. Professional. Yes. Because if at the end you start demanding for money, it's not really you offering it directly.
Oh,
you get it.
You giving consensual sex and having it just for the fun of it. But there was
no, it's not consensual. It's transactional.
Yeah.
Whether it's for transport or you are saying you cannot give yourself off for free or whatever it is, it's still a kind of transactional thing because it's not like you are. It's half and half selling, half and half giving yourself out. So it's like you it's like you are saying that it's like some kind of tax. Yes, let's say it that way. It's a kind of tax. If you are going to use my body, you must pay the tax. But it's not really a payment for a service. You get my metaphor? Yes. It's not really a payment for a service, but it's a tax. And, well, we have met some ladies like this before. They'll tell you that, you think I'm not going to give my body to you for free and you go away scot-free like that. No. She has to get something from you as if she's punishing you. You get the point?
Yeah. And so...
Yeah, it's semi-pro. So that's the semi-pro part. The professional one is the one that comes to you and she tells you that it's not. She's going to take money for it.
From the start, you know what you are in for.
Yes, you know what you are in for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she will ask you, how much are you going to pay me for what you're asking for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we understand two points. We've made 2 points. Why prostitution disgusts people, but we see that for even the transactional. When we came to the transactional aspect, right? People don't like prostitution because they feel someone is selling their body for money. When we even come to that aspect, we see that it's happening in different ways, right? Professionally, and as you've also sort of pointed out, semi-professionally. Are there any other reasons why people, in your opinion, dislike prostitution or think prostitution is wrong?
Well, these are the opinions I've gathered so far. This constitute the opinions I've gathered so far. Who knows? You know, human mind is capable of so many beliefs and impressions and whatnot. So, who knows what we will discover later on?
Yeah,
I'm sure if you go into the public, the general public, you are going to gather quite a lot of different opinions and perceptions. That will bring out a lot of information about the whole topic.
That said, I am actually opening up the voice message link of this podcast and hoping that listeners can actually add their voice in via voice messages to this conversation.
Yeah.
You know, they should tell us about some of the reasons why they believe prostitution is wrong. I think that will help push the conversation to another level.
So coming back to the question you were about to ask, I think the transactional sex leads us into it nicely. The positive aspects of prostitution.
Yeah, so please attempt that.
Yeah. For me personally, I view prostitution positively, especially professional prostitution, where the person offers it directly, because I see it as a business. I see it as something that can... that has an effect on production, you get, on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So if prostitution involves some kind of trade and is going to get people employed, meaningfully employed, I guess it's something that we shouldn't really judge wrongly or judge to be wrong.
So you're
You
talking
shouldn't
about
judge it.
economic benefits of prostitution here.
Economic benefits of prostitution. I don't bother about the other aspects. They say diseases, spiritual, and I think that person should be able to. I think the person should be able to protect themselves from the diseases and then also assure themselves spiritually. I know a number of prostitutes who even are more devout than the normal person out there. You get
Religiously.
these prostitutes. Yes, these prostitutes are contributing collections and things like that. They go to the church, they contribute the money that they are putting in the collection box is from prostitution.
What there's a conversation I had where someone talked about the fact that actually it seems more safer to have sex with prostitutes because they understand what they are doing. And when, again, this is the context of a professional prostitute, because
Professional prostitutes, yes.
I understand that I must protect myself from diseases, and so my
Yeah.
clients will be protected. And usually, these prostitutes will not
Compromise, jeopardize their life for the sake of some petty coins.
exactly. And
Yeah,
so
I know.
compared to girls that you would probably find where, they probably have two boyfriends, they are talking to a third one, they are talking to, they're also interested in, and they're having unprotected sex with all these three
Yeah.
boyfriends, in quote.
Yeah.
And so they don't know what they're really doing, and then they trust all these boys merely by judging their physical appearance that they are probably not ca carrying any diseases, and so they have
Yeah.
unprotected sex with them. And so it
Yeah.
seems to be safer to have.
And also probably those boys are paying for their rent and taking care of them in general. So it's like, yeah. When you are doing something professionally, you have that moral right to demand something. But when the whole thing is sort of like you are being taken care of like a little girl or a waif, you don't really have much of a bargaining power. Yes, as soon as yeah. So you don't have the bargaining power. So whoever is taking care of you can always ask you, if I'm taking care of you, what right do you have to tell me how I'm going to have sex with you? You get it? Yeah. So it's quite more complicated than that. You can also see it as a professional prostitute has quite a wider range of potential clients. So also you, the client, don't really have much power. She can always just blow you off and go and get another one. Aha. She can always just blow you off and go and get another one. But with those ones, they are not so much in control. You get, it's not so much of a business. For professional prostitute, it's a business. She's keeping accounts and everything. It's an inflow, outflow kind of thing. So it's more organized than with these baby careful kind of girls.
It's an
Yeah.
interesting put it that way. So we are talking about the economic value of prostitution,
Yeah.
and when it is actually done right from the pro
Yeah.
professional prostitute.
Professional prostitute.
So what other benefits, when we think about it, one that I was exploring today is, and it's a very interesting opinion from a sex forum, where this gentleman talked about how he keeps psychological balance. He started from the fact that sex is a basic need, of every human being.
Essential.
Yes, and many in particular have trouble getting sex from women, because
Yeah.
it can get very complicated and complex. the process of trying to get a woman to understand. And you know, basically what you need from the woman is to have sex with her, but then you have to go through a long, windy process to come to that point.
The wooing and all of that, I understand.
And so his point was that when you are talking to a professional prostitute, or when you go to a professional prostitute to get sex, you are going there to get sex. It's
Yes, she
you go
doesn't have a problem with it.
exactly. And she perhaps she even knows how to give it to you in a better
Better.
way
Exactly.
than the woman that you are trying to woo to have sex with you. And so it creates a very good balance in terms of men that can go through the process of wooing women, going that way to actually, you know, get, you know, satisfy their
Can
needs.
satisfy their sexual edges,
Exactly.
and so because of that, it prevents them going to rape anybody
Yes.
or other form of sexual deviance.
Exactly.
I see where the guy is going. That's also one reason why I say prostitution is a good thing. Professional prostitution, well-regulated prostitution. Prostitution, I don't believe it's a wrong thing at all. Coming back to your point about STDs, I remember this guy I was talking to. That day I was at one gym, and he was talking about when he was staying in Takoradi. He used to visit the prostitutes there. And I said, wow, I never knew, because he was quite a Lothario. He had a lot of girlfriends. So I was wondering why he would also have girlfriends. And he also had go for prostitutes. I don't know, but suddenly he mentioned that, I don't know, maybe he took my stand, my expression, my countenance, or my body language as having a problem with the prostitution, or having a problem with the fact that they might have diseases. So he just quickly chipped in that them women, then they fear that disease pass you. You get the point. Yeah, they fear the disease pass you. So if you know they wear the condom, they're not gonna make you chop. You get it? And if they will make if you go chop without the condom, they may say they know you very well, then they trust you. Those women are hard women. Yeah, myself personally, I know a few prostitutes. Those women are hard women. You don't mess with them.
They understand what they are doing, and
He was that guy even said, he said, those Takoradi prostitutes, some of them, they get guns set for the bag inside. So you fuck up now, you mess up like them. No, Charlie, then shoot you. They are not going to let you mess around with them. So they also tend to like respectful men. I've read a number of prostitutes' journals online, and they tend to place a lot of premium on that, getting men who respect them. There was one man who was a journalist in a relationship with a prostitute, and he mentioned that he doesn't understand why, but typically during the conversations, the lady always brings up this point. Let's say the man's name is Jonathan. Jonathan, you respect me, right? Then he nods, so he says yes, and then it's over. She doesn't have any qualms again. So respect is something that they tend to sort of find a trouble with. You get it?
because there is a tendency of meeting men who still
Who abused them?
think lowly of them, and so feels that they can abuse them.
They can have, yes, that is also a very good point. If I remember correctly, there have been a number of women who became prostitutes because they had high sex drives, but society does not allow women to explore their sex drive so much. So because of that, they went into prostitution, because there they can explore their sex drives and also get the money that they will need. Because if you did that in another job and people found out, you end up being fired and everything is gone. Even there are a number of ladies who got fired.
But what
you
is,
get it?
What is wrong with when we think about it? I mean, at one point, society's views are they are sort of, I don't know, guiding principles for all our lives. They tell us that, for example, when you touch fire, fire will burn you.
Yes.
They are there to, you know, they are there really to protect us. That is what they would say. So when they say, for example, prostitution is no good, and we've tried to talk about aspects of it that we imagine and perhaps believe that these are some of the reasons why society frowns on
prostitution.
Are there psychological effects of prostitution that we are not hinting at that perhaps society has frowned on it, has caused society to frown?
Sort of like there are some psychological effects that you are trying to protect individuals from.
Yeah. So we can think about the extremities, right? So as soon as women and men can go wild with their sexual
drive,
for example, what could be the end results on society?
With that one, you know, a lot of these norms. Okay, so you are asking if there are some psychological effects society is trying to protect us against. Yes, typically, I remember the sociologist Emil Durkheim. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, Emil Durkheim, he talked about the secret and the profane. Is why social rules, which are the norms and the mores, why social rules have the power that they do, and it's supposed to separate the sacred from the profane. And the sacred is such that it keeps the society going. It ensures the longevity. It ensures the survival of the people, of the group, of the race. So without rules, that particular group will fall apart. You get it? So there are some things that probably were destructive at that time, but perhaps they are no longer destructive. I can, number two, let's talk about jealousy and envy. If women and men allow their sexual drives to run free, they would have multiple sex partners. But can we be sure that each of these ones will not experience any envy or jealousy and fly into a rage, a jealous rage, and then murder their rival? You get it? First one. So that is one particular possible one reason that society frowns upon having multiple sexual partners. Then there's the second one of historically contraception. Who knows how they were practicing contraception? One of the oldest forms of contraception was the withdrawal method. When you're having sex and then you're about to ejaculate as the man, you withdraw.
Coitus interruptus.
Yes, coitus interruptus. So that's one of the oldest forms of contraception. Probably they had some other concoctions that they could do, mix in various whatever society, but I don't know much about that. But if you are talking about contraception, that's what we know. But how do we know that everybody knew that? So perhaps some societies, in order to avoid unwanted pregnancies, they cut they upholded abstinence. Yeah, polluted abstinence. So, when you don't have unwanted pregnancies, when we are talking about unwanted pregnancies, we are talking about, let's say, your sister is my my wife. Now your sister goes to sleep with my friend. You get it? And then she's carrying his baby. Now she's going to bring his baby to me that is mine. Just look at that triangle now. Yes, look at, I'll reject that baby. When I reject that baby, and then my friend also says it's not his, you now will have a problem with myself and then my friend.
Who do
Yes.
you hold responsible? Who do you hold accountable
But
when you have multiple partners?
we also will ask the question that, but how can she come and give us a baby that is not ours to take care of? Our own sweat, the sweat of our blood, of our brow, our own tears that we have poured into the ground to get the money that, or the resources that we have earned, then we pour it into somebody else's issue or offspring. No, we won't do it. You get it? And that could be a source of conflict. Before you know, somebody fights, somebody plots against the other, murders his neighbor or fellow in the society. And that is it. It can even start a full-blown family feud. It can start a war. You get it? You follow?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So that could be some of the ways that society, those are the things, some of the things that society is trying to guard against, those sacred and profane articles.
Yeah, and then when we look at the animal kingdom and perhaps following the ideologies of science and thinking about the fact that we were close to animals before. Usually when you look at the animal kingdom, it's always the strongest, right? It's the strongest man who wins the woman. The strongest man who's able to fight off the other men. Sometimes,
There are.
sometimes to till death, right? As the one who is able to have the woman. And so society constructing some of these structures and saying that we are creating the institution of marriage, for example, and you can go to a
And
court.
only the best can be the woman.
Yes.
I get my point. Yes, so that only the best traits are carried on into the next generation. Society does that a lot because you. Yeah, so society does that. The old time marriages where your in-laws come around investigating to your family, find out whether you have any diseases, any, let's say, heritable diseases, if you have any negative or bad traits that they want to avoid in your family, they don't want to mix their blood with, or whether you have even the whole point of dowries in certain parts of Africa, the whole point of dowry is to know whether the man is of any worth. Please, they'll ask you to bring a number of bulls, a number of bulls. You follow? Cattle, male cattle. Yes. And that is supposed to show that you are a man who can take care of a woman. That is supposed to show that you are a man who can take care of a woman and take care of their daughter. It's not just about that. Their daughter, you see, that they consider the daughter a pearl, something, a treasure. So if they are going to give her away, you must be worthy of her. So that is also another judgment. It's also finding out if you have traits, if you have traits they find desirable. And then that also If you have that kind of trait, then you can also foster a new generation and make their family also stronger. You get, So society tends to play this artificial role in evolution, some kind of artificial artificial selection.
Natural selection.
You know, but yes, but natural selection takes place on its own. If you are not able to adapt or die.
Yeah.
But in this case, it is done by human beings. But well, still, it's, since human beings are part of nature, it is a kind of natural selection. It's just because maybe we are talking about it, so we see it as artificial.
Yeah.
But it is part of our nature. It is part of our nature. So it's a natural selection. We are exercising the we are exercising our role as natural selectors. I don't know if my point is clear, but that's just by the way. Yeah, that's just by the way. So that too is an important factor. That's an important, very important. It plays an important part in this whole issue of whether sex partners or not, and guess the woman at the end of the day and all of that.
Still delving a bit into the benefits of prostitution. Yeah, people who have also talked about, you know, still psychologically, people going for prostitutes not because of sex, but sometimes they want someone to talk to. So there are men who would go and talk to a professional prostitute. You know, they would say, "I want you for the night. I'm going to pay you so and so amount." But they just go, they be with them. Perhaps sometimes they are naked. They lie with them naked, and then they tell them stuff about them. You know, stuff that they can't divulge to anyone else because they probably will be charged for it.
Yeah. I've heard of that too. Even online, you find profiles like that, Facebook or Twitter. Or sites, websites, they offer phone calls, let's say companionship.
Yeah.
So somebody that you can just talk to, but because it's a woman, so there's a sexual undertone to it.
Yes.
But it's not explicit, it's not overt. It's something that is sort of like it's supposed to occur in your normal relationships, but you are not able to get that. So you maintain that context, and then you also maintain that activity. It's a sexual relationship, but without the genital play. Yeah, or any physical sensual contact. So it's just about the conversation. I've seen profiles like that. Yeah.
And this is quite therapeutical, like you being able to go and pour out to someone. It saves people a lot of stress. Stress which can lead to
So that goes back to why I say I don't think prostitution is as bad as people make it seem.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that they say makes prostitution bad, I don't think it really affects society in general in any big way. If anything, it just affects the particular people involved, the client and the prostitute. But what they are doing, it is their own cup of tea. Why do you want to make it yours? When just say that those people, those people were poor, would you come to their aid to take care of them?
Mm-hmm.
Would you come to their aid to take care of them? No. Yeah. So, if these people were poor, you would not come to their aid because you would say it's not your concern. But now they are practicing their immoral sex or whatever you call it. That really does not affect any other person in the society. Why making it your business? It's not your concern. It doesn't really have anything to do with you. Just like if they were poor, it doesn't have anything to do with you. But why is it that if they are poor and you have to take care of them, that one you cannot make it your cup of tea? But they having sex, having their immoral sex, you are making it your cup of tea when it is not. You get it?
Yeah, I think this has been a great conversation. We've established some really interesting points around the negative aspects as well as the positive aspects of prostitution, and we are hoping that the listeners actually add their voice through the voice message links, share your opinions. I mean, we are discussing a topic, a subject that we think is quite delicate, and people have trying. So we are open to that, and so please do share your own views about this subject.
Okay.
I guess we'll call it a night,
Yeah.
and then see how this comes together with other people's opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right now.
Bye.